All right, welcome. My name is Divine. Welcome to episode 149 of the Divine Intervention Life Lessons podcast. In today's podcast, I'm actually going to be discussing some more things relating to of no reputation, and this is going to be part two. And I'm going to be using the same anchor scripture that was used last week. I'm going to be using Philippians chapter 2, verses 7 to 10. Philippians 2, verses 7 to 10. I'll read first from the King James Version, and then I'll read from the New Living Translation. It says, "But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth." And then, if you read the same thing from the New Living Translation, it says, "Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth." May the Lord bless the reading of his word in our hearts, in the name of Jesus. So, on Friday, we talked about of no reputation. We talked about how egos can make people miss out on their destinies. We talked about the importance of humility. We talked about how we see the fact that, oh, some people don't obey God, because obeying that instruction he has given them will hurt their ego. So we talked about all those things. But now, we want to talk about some other facets of this theme of no reputation. Well, the first facet of this thing I want to discuss is going to be taken from the book of James chapter 2. So if you look at James chapter 2, if you look at verses, you know, if you maybe read from verse 1, it says, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are you not partial in yourselves, and have become judges of evil thoughts? Verse 5. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you, and draw you before the judgment seat?" What are we learning here? And how does this relate to of no reputation? We're learning here about the dangers of favoritism. If you notice in this life, some people specifically favor people just because of their social status. Oh, if this person is rich, that person is of reputation, I'm going to favor them. If this person is poor, not wearing the nicest clothes, not doing, you know, they are not doing well or whatever, I'm just going to put them off to the side. I'm going to give them the least attention. Like, you see some people, they own businesses, and people that are wealthy, they treat them really, really well. But people that are not wealthy, you know, customers that may only spend very little money, they treat them like trash. Brethren, that's not how it's supposed to be. God does not like that. You are considering people's appearance in deciding how you treat them. But even the Bible says, I think God said this to the prophet Samuel when he was trying to anoint the sons of Joseph. the sons of David's father, Jesse. Yes, Jesse. He says, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Samuel was looking at, oh, this one is the eldest, Eliab. You know, oh, wow, these men are seasoned military men and everything. They seem to have all the bells and whistles. But thank God that Samuel could hear from God. Instead of deciding based on the bells and whistles that David's brothers had, he listened to God. He had the spirit of discernment. I was like, are these all your sons? And then they brought the one that was at the backside of the bush, the one that no one thought much about. Because literally Samuel said, bring all your sons. And Jesse did not even bother bringing David. So that means in Jesse's eyes, David probably didn't even count for much. David was the one of no reputation. But there's something I want to bring out from there. Even if David was the one of no reputation, God selected him. God did not look at his outward appearance to determine, this one cannot be king. No, the Bible says that God looks at the man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Yes, David's elder brothers may have had all the bells and whistles. David himself may not have had the bells and whistles appearance, but God knew that this is a man after my heart. This is a man that's going to obey my will. This is a man that's going to execute my mandate, and God chose him. So I'm trying to say this as an encouragement to many people listening to this podcast. You may ask yourself, man, I don't have the bells and whistles. Is my background solid? You know, does anyone care about me? Oh, I was not born with a silver spoon in my mouth. No. Let me tell you this, your background does not determine your destiny. It doesn't. If God selects you, and decides if you surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, God can make wonderful things out of your destiny. He can make wonderful things out of your destiny. Your appearance, the presence of bells and whistles, even your location doesn't mean anything to God. God can take you and make something wonderful out of your destiny. The second thing I also want to emphasize with this story of David is that even if David was of no reputation, he was working hard in the secret place. David was of no reputation, but he was still working hard in the secret place. David literally was at the backside of the bush. But we see in the Bible that, you know, he killed a lion, he killed a bear. It's not an ordinary person that on his own kills a lion and kills a bear. At least the Bible records that. So for him to have killed that lion and killed a bear, that means David was a skilled person. David was a skilled person. So that means David must have practiced his craft. He must have been good and everything. So I just want to point that out. Because you see many people, they're in situations where they have no reputation. And in those situations where they have no reputation, they kind of write off those situations. They're like, what's the point of me working hard here? I mean, no one is even going to pay attention. Who cares about what I'm doing? They're like, let's wait until I'm in a very visible position, until I get a good job, until I'm more recognized in society, and then I'll start working hard. Brethren, it should not be so. It should not be so. Don't wait until you're in the public eye to work hard, to work on your trade, to work on your craft. The Bible says, don't despise the days of little beginnings, because it's in you being a good steward of the resources that God has committed into your hands. When you are little, that's what will make you grow. Again, there is such a thing as secret place work. The Bible says that the Heavenly Father that sees what is done in secret will reward you openly. The Heavenly Father that sees what is done in secret will reward you openly. So there is going to be an open reward. So at some point, you that has been at the backside of the bush, at some point, you that have been working in the secret place, one day you will emerge in the open with a reward. That is what the Father promises us. But again, you need to be preparing. Because think about it. David fought many wars in his life. And David was wildly successful. Do you think he just learned to fight wars when he became king? No. Long before he became king, he had started fighting battles. And he got better at winning those battles. Dealing with a lion or dealing with a bear is a much smaller battle than dealing with a whole nation. But He did not despise those days of little beginnings, even when he was of no reputation. So again, that's why I said, let's continue the series. There are many facets of this topic. Even if he was of no reputation, when he was of no reputation, when no one knew about him, he was still working hard. He was still doing the right thing. He was learning. He was learning his craft. He was taking care of the animals in the backside of the bush. But many of those skills that he picked up, God used it to bless him in the future. So I'm encouraging you today, at every station in your life, whether you're in the station where no one knows about you, or you're in the station where people know about you, do your best. Work hard. In that secret place, in that place where people don't really know you much, be doing the right thing. If you do the right thing, God will elevate you. That is just the truth. The Lord Almighty God will elevate you. That is just the truth. That is a principle of life. The Bible says, seest thou a man that is diligent in his business? The Bible says that he will stand before kings. He will not stand before mean men. If you want to stand before a king, one of the secrets of standing before kings is being diligent in your business. Being diligent means working hard. Means, whether you are in a place of good reputation or not, I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to work hard. You see some people, when they're in a job that is like, some people call it like a deadbeat job. And don't think of any job as a deadbeat job. They're like, I wash plates in the restaurant. They're like, I'm just going to do whatever. No one cares about what I'm doing. No, God cares about what you're doing. Even if you're in a position where, the customers of the restaurant don't see you, no one sees what you're doing, but God sees what you're doing. And God knows the quality of the work you do. There's this part of, I think, the book of 1 Corinthians that says that everyone's work will be revealed by fire. The thing is, even if you are washing plates, if that's what you've been called to do at that moment, is one of the lowest reputation jobs there is out there. Do that thing faithfully. Do that thing faithfully. Don't let the fact that, you have no reputation make you do a shoddy job. No. Because again, if you are diligent in those small things, then the Lord will give you more things. Look at David. David was walking at the backside of the bush, but he must have been doing excellent work to be able to kill a lion, to be able to kill a bear. One day, he eventually stood in the presence of a king. He stood in the presence of King Saul. And let me tell you this. It's not just killing the lion, killing, because some of you may be like, Divine, how can you conclude that David was skilled just because he killed a lion or he killed a bear? Many people can kill lions or kill bears. I will challenge you that first, not many people can do that. But second of all, David was also very skilled in playing musical instruments. Is that skill in playing musical instruments that brought him into the presence of King Saul in the first place? I'll say that again. That skill in playing musical instruments is the first thing that brought him into the, is one of the things that brought him into the presence of King Saul. David, they're not going to call you to be playing for a king. Actually, I think it was someone that told Saul that, wait, there's this person that is very skilled in playing XYZ, playing all these instruments, that you should call. He will play for you. And if he plays for you, the evil spirit will depart. So that tells us that David was very skilled. I mean, think about it. You want to tell me that a person lacking skill is the person that wrote most of the book of Psalms? Come on. Come on now. Right? So that's the thing. Even when David was of no reputation, he was doing the right thing. I'm telling you this. I believe that God is ministering to somebody today. Don't let the fact that you are currently in a standing of no reputation make you do shoddy work. Make you do shoddy work. Make you do shoddy work. And the corollary is the case. If you are at a point of no reputation and you were working hard, doing the right thing, being faithful, being a good steward, don't let the fact that you then become off reputation make you let your foot off the gas. Many people, their undoing in life is that once they get to a high position in life, they believe that they have arrived. And once they believe that they have arrived, they stop doing the things that got them to that high position, that brought them to the presence of the king in the first place. You need to keep working on your craft, because the thing you don't realize is that when you get to a new high position in life, that does not mean that that is the highest position that the Lord wants to call you to. God likes to call people higher, loves to call people higher, loves to call people higher. So the thing is, when you get to a big position in life, Think of it as a new position of no reputation. Think of it as a new position of no reputation. In that place, continue to work hard. Continue to do the right thing. Continue to be faithful. Continue to be a steward. And in that principle of elevation, will begin to work for you. The fact that, the mayor of your town has called you to congratulate you on something great you're doing, doesn't mean that that's where God wants you to stay. God may want you to be recognized by the governor. God may want you to be recognized by the president. God may want you to be recognized by the richest person in the world. But the Bible says, seest thou a man that is diligent in his business. So the thing is, again, it's not your position that should determine your level of effort. Regardless of where you are, regardless of what you're doing, you should be doing the right thing. You should be a good steward. Again, I really believe that the Lord is talking to someone this morning. It's very, very important. Very, 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 very important for you, regardless of your position of standing in life, to do the right thing, to not compromise, to work hard, to keep refining your craft. Look at Joseph. When Joseph got into the land of Egypt, he was of no reputation. He came in as a slave. But why do you think Potiphar would have elevated him to be the head of his household? Potiphar elevated him because he saw that the Lord was with him. How did Potiphar see that the Lord was with Joseph? Potiphar saw that the Lord was with Joseph because Joseph was doing good quality work. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Where do you think, is it bad works that people see and glorify your Father in heaven? No. Is good works that he see, is excellent works that he see, and glorify your Father that is in heaven. So the thing is, they must have seen the good works of Joseph. So they glorified his Father. That's why they were able to recognize that God is with this man. God is with this man. That's why he elevated him to the head of his household, right? So even if Joseph, because of who they're like, oh, I'm a slave. I don't want to be here. This is a foreign land. I mean, my brother sold me. Man, this is must be the end of it for my life. No, he did not have that opinion on life. He did not. What did he do? He did the right thing. He did the right thing. He worked hard even in that situation, and God elevated him. And then he got to the prison. And after that, he got elevated. I'm telling you, like a person that makes themselves of no reputation, but they put their head down and works really hard, are really faithful, are really good stewards, you're going to be elevated everywhere you go. That is just the truth. There is literally almost no place for you to go but up. Because again, the Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. That he may exalt you in due time. In due time. In due time. Right? So when he got to the prison, they must have seen the quality of his work. That's why they made him the head of the prison. But again, you may look at it as, wow, is that a downgrade or an upgrade? I mean, you're going from Potiphar's house to the prison. No, it was not a downgrade. God was actually, almost in a sense, testing the faithfulness of Joseph. He saw that, Potiphar's house, Joseph may have been tempted to do crappy work he did not do. Joseph may have been tempted to sleep with Potiphar's wife. He did not do. He did not sleep with Potiphar's wife. He did not sleep with Potiphar's wife. He did the right thing in that circumstance. In the prison, he did not start complaining against God. There is no part of the book of Genesis where we see that Joseph complained. Joseph did not complain. He kept doing the right thing. He kept working in the secret place. He put his head down. He put his head down and did the right thing. He literally put his head down and did the right thing. He made himself of no reputation. But the fact that he was of no reputation, the fact that he was a slave, the fact that he was a prisoner, did not mean that he was doing a crappy work. But at some point, that principle started getting activated. Seest thou a man that is diligent in his business? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before mean men. One day, he was called up to the presence of Pharaoh. His reward day came. His reward day came. And all that work he had been doing in the secret place, all that management. Because think about it. You want to tell me that managing a country is easy? No. Managing a country is not easy. But Joseph, when he was at the position where he was just managing you and a household, he was doing good quality work. So he learned some management skills there. And then he went to the prison. When he got to the prison, he still did good quality work. At least now it's not just a household. He's managing a whole prison. He did good quality work there. all those good quality works. He was faithful in little things. He was faithful in the management of Potiphar's household. He was faithful in the management of the prison. So then he was called up higher. 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 He then became the manager of a country, and he handled that situation well. But he was able to handle that situation well because he had worked hard. He had put his head down when he was in a situation of life where he was of no reputation. So again, I'm encouraging you today, you know, do the right thing regardless of the situation you're in. And in reference to the James chapter 2 that we read about, like, oh, I treat people based on how they look on the outside. Don't do that. God does not like that. Whether people are of reputation or of no reputation, God wants you to treat them well. God wants you to treat them with love. God wants you to treat them with respect. Even if people are annoying you, treat them with love. Don't let people's behavior guide your response to them. Don't let people's appearance of wealth, oh, this person has a Range Rover, I'm going to treat them well. Or this person has a 1998 car from the that's no longer even being made at all. No, don't treat them poorly because of that, right? Don't treat them poorly because of that. Because there's a part of the Bible, I believe it's Hebrews chapter 12, if I'm not mistaken. I'm fairly certain it is in Hebrews chapter 12. Either Hebrews 12 or I think it's Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, right? The Bible says in verse 1, let brotherly love continue. And then verse 2 says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. But those people did not look like angels in the first place. They look like strangers. How do you treat strangers these days? Do you treat them well, or do you treat them like trash? Do you treat them like, you look weird, whatever. No. You don't work like that. Look at Abraham. He saw strangers walking up. You know, some people are like, oh, these people are walking up. I'll mind my own business. Whatever. No, he treated them well. He told them to come, sit down and eat. He told his wife, go and prepare food for these people. But those people were angels. They were angels. He showed them hospitality. Again, that's the thing. If you use the bells and whistles of an individual to determine how you treat them, you're going to miss out on so many good things in life. That is just the truth. That is just the truth. He did not look at the way those people looked. He did not look at their appearance to say, oh, yeah, these people don't deserve my food. No, he treated them well. And those people ended up being angels. And if you notice, those people released the word of God over his life that by this time next year, you're going to have a son. Imagine if he did not entertain those supposed strangers. That's the thing I'm telling you. Some people, they don't realize that a person that they are currently treating like trash is the person that is the helper of their destiny. I'm telling you, I'll say that again. Some people do not currently realize that the person they are treating like trash is their helper of destiny. Is their helper of destiny. So again, I will encourage you today. Look back to episode 148. Look back to this current episode. Listen to it. But I'm telling you, follow these principles. It will really elevate you in life. And it will really help you grow in your walk with Christ. Now, before you can grow in your walk with Christ, the first thing you need to do is you need to surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ can make a big, huge difference in a person's life. So if you want to take that step this morning, I want you to say this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I confess that I'm a sinner. I need your help. I need your forgiveness. I confess all my sins. I forsake all my sins. I repent of all my sins. Come into my heart and life. Be my Lord and my Savior. Write my name in the book of life. Give me a brand new beginning. Sanctify me with your blood. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me the grace to do your will all the days of my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Father, I thank you for those that have surrendered their lives to you. Lord, please help them. Give them a new beginning. Strengthen them. Help them to obey you. Help them to love you. Help them to honor you in everything that they do. and give them the grace not to go back to the world in the name of Jesus. And whatever is burdening their hearts, Lord, you are the burden bearer. Take over those situations. Give them peace. Give them victory. To your glory and praise. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And Father, I pray for each and every one of us that are listening to this podcast. First off, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for ministering your word to us this morning. My King and my God, we are praying for the grace to be doers of the word. Give us the grace to show hospitality to strangers. Give us the grace not to look at the outward appearance of man, but to treat people well, regardless of what they look like, regardless of what their background may be, regardless of what their backgrounds may seem like. Give us the grace to treat people with love and with respect. And Father, regardless of our station in life, give us the grace to be faithful. Give us the grace to be good stewards. Give us the grace to be diligent. As we do so, Lord, help us. Help us, help us, help us, help us. Help us, Lord, to do your will. Help us as we do so. Elevate us. Let us be elevated and let us be in the presence of kings. But let us be doing while we're in the secret place, in the place of no reputation. Let us continue to do what is right. Give us the grace to be like Joseph, even when he was tagged as a slave or tagged as a prisoner, kept doing the right thing. Give us the grace, regardless of our situations in life, to always do the right thing. To your glory and praise. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now, for those that have surrendered their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, I have three pieces of advice for you. Number one, find a Bible. Find a translation you understand. You know, the New Living Translation is pretty good. It's pretty understandable for most people. Just read it and literally do what it says, and you'll see your life take a turn for the better. You can start at the book of John. It'll tell you all about the love of God. But I will encourage you, be consistent. Don't do it one day and then not do it the other day. Be consistent with it. Be consistent with it. You can find many Bible reading plans online. Just follow them. Be very consistent with them. The second thing I will say is listen to episodes 96 to 101 on the website. It's titled The 5 Basic Responsibilities of a Believer. The 5 Basic Responsibilities of a Believer. All you need to do is listen to those things. It will give you some very practical tips and steps so that you can grow as a Christian. Because you don't want to be in a situation of no growth as a Christian. You want to be in a situation of positive growth as a Christian. And then the final thing I will say is, I will encourage you, find a Bible-believing church. Notice I did not say find a church. There are many places that call themselves churches these days. And they preach many things that are inconsistent with the Word of God. Many, many things that are completely inconsistent with the Word of God. I'm telling you, brethren, that is not a place you want to be. You don't want to be in a place that says, oh, they support this or they endorse this when the Word of God does not endorse it. Mm-mm. That's actually a sign of the last days. There are many, many churches like that right now. I attend the Redeemed Christian Church of God. It has many parishes all over the world, probably has many parishes in your country. But there are also many great churches as well all over the world. But find a place where you can truly fellowship with other believers. Read the Word of God every day. Fellowship with God. Spend time in personal communion with God. Be consistent with it. And as you read the Word of God, ask yourself, how can I apply this to my life? And begin to apply those rules. And as you do so, all will be well with you. Thank you for listening to me today. Until next time, have a wonderful day and God bless you. Shalom.